Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, it's time for Jaguar Zone. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, we are presented, of course, today by Impact Media. Shout out to those guys. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in. There is a lot of fun things to talk about, as usual. Anytime you get a chance to talk about the Jaguars, it is always fun. As random things are now floating all around me, it's kind of weird here in the studio. Maybe it's just the weird vibe that's coming from the Jaguars, you know. We had that game, of course, against the Jets that I'm going to talk about in a second. We got the one coming up against the Ravens. But, you know, as John Oser said, Jaguars were so close. Again, so close. And it just, well, Max, I think you say it better.
Missed it by that much.
Yep, exactly. It just, man, it's, I don't even know the word. It's not disappointing. It's not disheartening. Maybe I should get off the D words. It's just, we know how good this team is. I mean, they scored 23 points on the New York Jets, who arguably have a top 7 defense in the league, possibly better. The two Allens had a tremendous day. Blake Bortles had just a fantastic day. He's going to make mistakes. He's still a young quarterback. I mean, he's only 2 years removed from college. So, I mean, he's going to have a few mistakes. He's limiting his mistakes. Yeah, it was another road game, and yeah, it would have been nice to win this one. A lot of people say, well, you know, the Jaguars, they just don't win on the road. That's not an excuse. I mean, we know how good this team is. I mean, this, you know, it's a good team. It's got a lot of talent. Everybody's starting to come together. But it just, this one really kind of stung. And, you know, let's just go to the numbers. Blake, of course, 24 for 40. Remember, he's outside that comfort zone. Excuse me. 40 times is way too much for anybody to throw. Of course, he was behind for part of the game, so, you know, the extra 5, kind of understood. .381 yards, had the 2 touchdowns, of course, the 2 interceptions. The number that I don't like the most is he was sacked 6 times, once again, by a top 7 or better defense. But 6 times for minus 43 yards, that's not, the 43 is not really the number I want to stick on, but the 6. Yes. And who was the 6? Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Deion Bailey and Sheldon Richardson had half a sack apiece. Marcus Williams had half. Lorenzo Malden was the one I remember. He had 2. Calvin Pace had 1. Leonard Williams had 1/2. Yeah, just, I mean, that's more people than we definitely want in the backfield. Unless, of course, they want to play running back. But we got T.J. Yeldon, so I'm not worried about that. However, the 24 for 40 some of those were against Darrell Revis, some against Cromartie. They are Pro Bowl cover guys. In fact, Cromartie had a pretty bad day, so bad that he ended up with an injury, ended up out. But anyway, 24 for 40, that's like 54%. I don't really like that. As far as rushing, T.J. Yeldon was held to 14 carries and 64 yards. His longest was a 45-yarder. That just tells you that without that 45-yarder there, he had 13 carries for 19 yards. But once again, this is not my absolute answer for everything. But for now, top seven defense. Bortles actually ended up scrambling for 32 himself. Then you go to passing. How about Agent 88, Allen Hurns? 5 receptions, 122 yards, 1 touchdown. That's a good number. I like that one. Like I said, 5 catches, and he was targeted 8 times. I mean, 3 of them were either were incomplete or knocked down. Could have been tipped. All kinds of stuff. A-Rob, Allen Robinson, adds 6 catches for 121 yards. As long as being that 44-yard run, that was pretty nice. He was targeted 11 times, so there's 5 of those that were. So far between the two top receivers, 3 and 5, it's 8. We've made up for, what, 24? Yeah, 24 and 40. So we've made up part of those. I'm not going to go through everybody, but those are the two top receivers. Brian Walters had 5 catches for 54 yards and the touchdown. He's really becoming a pretty integral part in weapon. And the pass to Mercedes Lewis. Lewis has still got something in him. A lot of people don't think he does. And rumor had it there was a few teams interested in him at the trade deadline, but the deals weren't good enough, and the Jaguars had no interest in really wanting to get rid of him anyway. You're welcome, Mercedes. They definitely wanted to keep you around. As far as our defense, Jonathan Cyprian had a pretty good day as far as he had a couple tackles for loss and 13 tackles. Of course, Colvin and Smith and Paz all had right around 7 or 8 tackles, and they had tackles for loss as well. That was nice. Jared Odrick and Chris Clemens, of course, had the 2 sacks on the day. That Odrick one was, I would venture to say, it made Ryan Fitzpatrick question if he wanted to stick in there and keep passing. I like Nick Marshall as a kick returner. You know, you're going to have, and punt returner at that, you're going to have those plays where, you know, he drops one here or there. It just so happened to be right there at the end. You know, the play by Bortles, the fumble, and then luckily they fumbled it right back. And then right there at the end, all you have to do is catch the kick. You don't need to progress it because the team could drive from there. And it just didn't work out. There's a magic every arena, every stadium, no matter how big or small. There's electricity. I know I feel it anytime you walk into one. It just, you never know who's going to be the benefit of the luck, of the electricity, of the magic that is sports in general. And once again, this week, it was not the Jaguars. Ball bounced the other direction. Jets were able to hang on for the 28-23 victory. How about Jason Myers, though? You know, I said one of the keys last week. Special teams had to be better, and he cannot miss field goals. How about going 3 for 3, including the 44? How long was that one? 45 yarder. He was responsible for 11 points, 11 of the 23. He's doing his part. But, you know, the fact that this team could hang with a team like the Jets, who I consider one of the up-and-coming and better ones as well, especially against this defense. Jaguars' defense is pretty good, too. But against this Jets defense that we all know about, I thought they did pretty well. They held Chris Ivory to 26 yards. That's ridiculous because he was averaging like 112 or 120 or something a game. He did have two touchdowns, but they were goal line. 26 yards. In fact, Zach Stacy, the backup, only had 3. Decker and Marshall were able to burn us for touchdowns. But, I mean, they're good receivers. They're going to be open. Nobody really had – I mean, Decker had 79 yards. A couple people had 40. But I'm not seeing anything that really jumps out as to, you know, nobody really broke out, so we kept everybody in check. It just, the fumbles, it's the turnover battle now. The fumbles are what pretty much did it. If they can control, you know, all you have to do is control. I say it like it's easy. We have to just control the ball. Let's try to limit the turnover, especially the fumbles, and I think we'll be good. You know? I do think that our special teams has got to work a little better on coverage. I mean, if Myers has fixed all his kick stuff, kicking yips or whatever it was, then, you know, now the biggest thing on special teams is that people like Cromartie were able to run a ball back for 53 yards. But, you know, overall, performance-wise, I think this team did pretty well. As far as the injuries, left guard Zane Beatles got the knee injury in the second quarter. He came back to the game. His foot seems to be okay, which is what he came in with. Defensive tackle Michael Bennett ended up with a strained hamstring. He did not come back in. So far I've heard that he's just still rehabbing that. I don't believe he practiced today, but, you know, more than likely I'd imagine he should be able to go. Wide receiver Marquise Lee missed his 5th consecutive game, 6th overall. And rookie safety James Sample had the shoulder injury. It's the 4th game he's missed. You know, talked about Lee before and Sample a little bit. You know, running back Toby Gerhart was inactive. He's healthy. Not sure exactly why he was inactive. Maybe it was performance-based. Maybe they just didn't want to carry all those, a bunch of different running backs. I don't know. But defensive end Chris Smith and offensive lineman Luke Boyenko, linebacker Hayes Pullard, the new guy, and running back Joe Banyard also were inactive. Of course, they had Davin House back in. He had the 2 pass breakups. I don't know if that was a benching a couple weeks or a week or so ago, or if that was just they were trying something different. But clearly, he needs to be the starter. And once he was, it's like he earned his spot back or whatever it was. But he's back in. He's making an impact. Glad to have him back in. But as I said, this was another game that the Jaguars were in. They had the chances to win. Chances, not just one. Chances to win. But in the end, lost. There's been, 3, 4 of these this year? it doesn't mean the team's bad. Like I said, you can just have a bad string of luck. But I made two lists as I was watching the game. And my two lists were what I thought was not the issue and what was the issue. As far as what was not the issue, it was not the special teams as far as the kicker Meyer. It was not Blake Bortles passing. It was not the run defense, not the pass defense, not the pass rush, and not the wide receivers. What I thought it came down to, Nick Marshall's punt drop, we just talked about Bortles' fumble, we talked about just turnovers in general, we just talked about, and the rush attack. I felt like we didn't run the ball as much as we should have, and I think we should be more aggressive with that. Now, we were playing from behind, so I understand the passing aspect, but I feel like if you can get T.J. Yeldon involved early, then it's only a matter of time before he bucks up and just starts, you know, torching people. Like, let's say he's a different style runner, but let's say like a Todd Gurley's doing now. You get him started early, they will blow the doors off people. But that will drop our Jaguars to 2-6. Of course, the Houston Texans have 3 wins. They are at 3-5. And, of course, the Colts won last night. They have 4 wins. Tennessee has 1 or 2 as well. I think they got their second yesterday. That makes sense. But regardless, obviously this isn't over with. But the Jaguars do need to get a victory this week to kind of keep pace. If this is another week where the Jaguars fail to win, where the Colts do win, then it's going to be a lot harder to try to make a run at the division. And more than likely, the wild card for the AFC is not coming out of this division. The winner of this division is probably going to have between 7 and 9 wins. So, you know, pretty much playing for the division if you're going to make it in, and they're not out of this yet. They got, Baltimore this week, then got the early game next week on Thursday Night Football, of course, against the Titans. Those are 2 winnable games. The weekend after Thanksgiving, of course, the Chargers, that could be entertaining, could be a score fest for sure. Because the Chargers' defense is not super amazing. They're pretty decent. But the Chargers have also lost some weapons on offense. Of course, then they get the Titans again the week after that, early December. Second week of December, you got the Colts. I think this team, as long as Andrew Luck is not playing like he was yesterday, then I think they're beatable. Their defense is still almost a shell. You got the Falcons on the 20th. The way they're playing, that could be a winnable game. You got the Saints on the 27th and finish up with the Texans. So of the remaining 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, of the remaining 8 games, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 absolutely winnable games with the other 3 potential. I'm not saying this team's going to go 8-8, but I'm not saying it's impossible. It could happen. I mean, the Ravens, this is the worst the Ravens have ever been. It's a great time to kick them while they're down. And I don't encourage kicking people while they're down, but in the metaphoric way, when the Ravens are down, take advantage of it, put a W on the board. Now, of course, you will be playing in Baltimore. It's okay. It's not that hostile an environment. They got a good fan base, you know, they'll be hospitable. They might be less hospitable once their team loses, but, you know, that is what it is. And like I said, you get the Titans twice, Falcons, Texans, you know, winnable games. And as far as my three keys to victory, as a texter, I appreciate that. If you do text into the show, or if you call in the show, you know, let me know your name and where you're from, so that we can give the proper shout outs and credential as far as you know, you being one of our fans, and you know, we'd like to give you the proper respect for your opinion. But as you said, you want to know my three keys for the game against Baltimore. Well, you got to put a lot of pressure on Joe Flacco. He is a pocket guy, so make him scramble around a little bit. He can scramble. He can move when he has to, so let's keep a guy on him. But their offensive line is not amazing. So key number one, put pressure on Joe Flacco. Let's make him make mistakes. In fact, number two, let's shut down the run game. Not that they have that good of a run game anyway, but let's shut that down. Let's make him throw to these guys, these receivers. You know, he doesn't have Steve Smith. Just every time you turn around, Baltimore needs another receiver. Flacco doesn't really know half the people he's throwing to. Let's force him to throw. So we're going to pressure Flacco. We're going to shut down the run. And number three, let's air it out. In normal years, I would say don't air it out because they usually have pretty good coverage between their linebackers and defensive backs. But this year, like I said, they're having issues. Let's air it out. Let's make sure that the Allens, A-Rob and Agent 88, I mean, the matchups favor them for sure. Mercedes Lewis should be able to get some work in. Orange Julius, of course, now that he's back in the mix. Yeldon coming out of the backfield. I do think getting him involved early can open up the pass game, but at the same time, the pass game is going to open up his running. So I'm not that worried about that. But remember, three keys to victory. We're going to pressure Flacco. I think you can get a couple sacks out of it. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that the Jaguars end up with four sacks against Joe Flacco this weekend. Of course, number two, like I said, we're going to shut down the run. We're going to make sure that no matter who their running back is, he doesn't get more than, let's keep him under 70 yards. I think I'm going to call that too. Four sacks, running back under, leading rusher for them under 75 yards. And of course, number three, like I said, let's air it out. The way their defense is not really falling apart, but it's in pieces because of injuries. They don't have Terrell Suggs to rush at you. They got a couple guys that can still get at you, but our offensive line can hold this. Let's air it out. Let's make sure that Agent 88, Orange Julius, Mercedes Lewis, Yeldon, A-Rob, who am I missing? Anybody that wants to catch a pass. Walters, there we go. I don't know how I forget him. He's the one that's just been catching them here lately, too. Let's make sure all those guys get plenty of – they'll have plenty of space. Let's make sure they rack up the yards there. I'm going to go on a limb and say – can I get a drum roll? I guess that's as close to a drum roll as I get. I'm going to go on a limb and say Jaguars are going to win 27-17 Jaguars, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And that's going to do it for me. So, for Impact Media, Blog Talk Radio, and Jaguar Zone, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week. Go Jaguars! Duval is where we play. Let's move the chain.